This ROFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Good afternoon and welcome to Shadow Peter. I'm Shadow Peter here on today's show, where we'll be discussing about Chris Harrison survived the caucus fight to remain a national party leader. That's what's coming up right now. I'm going to play Least Than a Lover by Jenny. That was Less Than a Lover by Jenny on Jadapedia on ROFM. Chris. Chris. Chris Harrison just survived the survived a vote of no confidence. Chris Harrison just survived a vote of no confidence. Survived a vote of no confidence after. After a 50-second press conference during which he took no questions from media, he has flanked by key senior members of his caucus, including Erica Savage, who is tailored to change to his leadership. Earlier, he publicly declared Paul Philoxen, Claire Nicholas, Chris Bishop, Chris Pink, Paul Goldsworth, Mark Mitchell, Jane Ritchie, Vince Austin, Melissa Lee, Scott Simpson, Kevin Ray, Nicola, and Mitzi, Dan Bidwas, Ray Hamilton, Tom McLean, Rihanna Clay, and Tarapu Taka. Dumpy's fifth month refused to be joined Levi Beckham, while natural chief Rob was unusually silent when asked. For many, it comes out to bad days on the job of Lux when he announced he's fact he supported an in-paper referendum of national women's election comments. He called many of us are in business where win and sold to small businesses and Rotorua. Here's what he had to say. Because Chris Jackson needs to give his sources together. Otherwise, if he doesn't improve power, so we ain't gonna have enough of Labour government. Want to tax more, see more, borrow more. Which we don't want to see our New Zealand backwards on doing the progress as they run into debt once again.
As you know, this is an absolutely pivotal election with some very, very serious issues at stake for New Zealand. We think we have made tremendous progress as a government, rebuilding economic growth, financial discipline, restoring law and order, and certainly strengthening education and healthcare. But we also acknowledge that we have a lot more to do. Our plan to fix the basics and to build the future is a positive plan, a very positive plan to help New Zealand realise the innate potential that it has. There was a confidence vote in my leadership this morning at our caucus meeting, and I have the full support of our caucus. And our caucus is united, and it is determined to win this election. Our focus is on National's positive plan to fix the basics and to build the future, so that we realise the incredible potential that sits in this country, and that we set it up for our kids and our grandkids so they can do better than we can. It's also an opportunity to frame the choice for voters, which is crystal clear on November the 7th. An opposition that wants to take New Zealand backwards, or a national government that wants to fix the basics and build the future and of a plan that takes New Zealand forward. With that, I want to say thanks, everyone. We're going back to work and we're moving on. Thank you very much.
Are we going to be back here in 3 months' time?
That was Prime Minister Christopher Luxon with a very brief stand-up there, media stand-up at Banquet Hall of Parliament, following what was more than 3 hours meeting with his caucus colleagues. He has said that he has the full support of the caucus and that, quote, we are united. Katie Brad is back with us for analysis on this. I mean, that stand-up was probably about 60 seconds long, very little said. What do you make of the statement there from Prime Minister Christopher Luxon?
Yeah, I mean, and I'd love to compare it to his statement in April and see how many seconds difference it was, because that felt very short. I understand that Mark Mitchell and Paul Goldsmith were standing there with him. That is clearly a sign that they support him. Last time, though, we saw Nicola Willis beside Chris Luxon. I'm not sure if she was in the room there and who was there. But the fact he's saying caucus is united, I have full support of the caucus, of course. He didn't take any questions from the media, so some of those questions around, wow, how many people voted for you, were you challenged? None of those questions were answered, and so those are the questions we now will ask as we try and see other MPs or ministers as they appear around Parliament over this afternoon. This is a recess week, unlike the last challenge, which means that people are not, they may leave very quickly after this meeting. We may have some movement. I think this is just the media coming through and the MPs, but we'll keep an eye on that in terms of what we can get from reaction from National, finding out what happened in there. Was there a challenge or was it a vote of confidence? I think that is a really key question. Was there someone who stood there and said, I want to take over the leadership from you?
And absolutely. And also, what is going to happen to that MP or those MPs who did kick up a fuss? I guess Prime Minister Christopher Luxon is wanting to look decisive in these situations where it appears there's great instability. Do you think he's managed to pull that off this morning with this brief media stand-up, or is this going to drag on for days and days?
Well, the questions are going to remain about his leadership in terms of was there a challenger. As I said, he did sound obviously decisive there, and the focus needs to be the election. And as I said earlier, it does need to be on the election now. This is so extraordinarily close to an election for a sitting Prime Minister to have to stand here for the second time in 4 months and say, I've had to have a vote of confidence in my leadership. But he's held on. the strength, right, to stand there and for a second time to face those challenges down and take on them and win says a lot about his leadership and says a lot about what's going on in the National Party caucus right now. That, again, as we said earlier, that if there was a challenger or a couple of challengers, they clearly did not have the numbers behind them to make this happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost a bit embarrassing if there were those challengers who have obviously been kicking up a fuss if they've been unable to roll them. I mean, it's essentially a failed coup attempt, it appears. Is that your...
Totally. And yeah, and he said caucus is united. Well, it's not. This would not be happening if caucus was united. The fact that a Prime Minister, sitting Prime Minister, has been challenged twice in 4 months, as I said, does not scream that there is kumbaya and happy lullabies going on in the National Party caucus right now. It's destabilising, and you've got to say for voters, and, you know, as I said earlier, again, opposition party, Labour Party, will sit here and say, well, how can voters have trust in a party that don't have the backing of their leader? So Chris Luxon now has, I think, 89 days to come out and say, oh, Matt Doocy is just coming past right now. What happened in there?
Did you vote for Prime Minister?
Obviously, not much to say here. We are going to turn because Chris Pink is coming through right now. We will turn straight to see what he has to say.
I'm not going to comment on what takes place.
Could you tell us at all what happened in terms of the vote of confidence? Chris Pink, again, not giving any word there about whether he voted and how...
No, very, very tight-lipped indeed, Katie. I mean, what is required now to get National and this government back on track to shore up the support and, as Luxon said, focus on winning the election? What is it going to take?
Well, it does actually show the strength of a leader to be able to stare down your colleagues and say, he has won twice. So he can say to the voters, hey, I can win an election again. I've just stared down detractors in my and agitators in my caucus and managed to win. I am a strong leader. That is the argument he may decide to use now around that. He needs to be able to say to voters, look, I am the person you want as Prime Minister. That he has the backing of his caucus. Again, you would not expect anyone now to privately or publicly criticise Chris Luxon, because National Caucus now does need to look united, even if behind the scenes they are not.
Absolutely. Well, Katie Bradford, we really appreciate your analysis throughout the morning, and that is all for this Herald Now Breaking News special. Herald Now Business with Garth Bray is back at 6:30 a.m. tomorrow, followed, of course, by Ryan Bridge today at 7 a.m. I'm Michael Morrow. Have a good afternoon. Thanks very much.
Say Chris Pink and... See, Chris Pink and Matt Doocy wouldn't comment about Luxon leadership because Chris Luxon is a strong leadership. He's trying so hard. Now voters are getting more incompetent about not managing a comedy and want to go back to good old Labour. So let's better hope Chris Luxon and Winston Peters will get back into Parliament by this term and want to keep Labour and Greens and Te Parama by Arapel, because Te Parama wants to see New Zealand back to a stone age as possible. So right now I'm gonna play Ancient Ella by Adela on Chartopedia on Era EV. There was ancient era by Adele on Jazz Peter on era even. Hundreds of congregants were terrorists have been terminated over the past 3 years, more than 600 churches, new data reveals. And for most of the peak, 18 tenancies were terminated in July 2025, impacting 46 children. But data of council houses with a tenancy were terminated in the number of children among these households between December 2023 and soon after college came into power. In June 2026, in total, 201 tenancies with children were cancelled among them. There were 607 children. Kangaroo General Manager for National Services for Homes and Communities, Nick Mellor, said the decision to terminate tenancy is not taken lightly, especially when children were involved, when issues such as disruptive behaviour or arose. Our people work closely alongside tenants and we find out understand what's driving behaviour and address underlying issues if needed, particularly referring tenants to special social and health support services and budgeting programs. Tenancies get cancelled for several reasons, including breaching tenancy rules for serious and persistent behaviour that often impacts neighbours and their children. If tenants continue to breach obligations under the residential tenancy that we will exist to end the tenancy. But what was released to Labour in response to Western parliamentary question 27 of tenancies with children were cancelled because adults could not pay rent. Around half were cancelled because of tenants and children. He left or abandoned for home and 12 of them were terminated because of disruptive behaviour. Labour Housing Safety Secure Mechanism Infection Fitness were you do not accept what nations put vulnerable families deeper into poverty. For government have promised the focus will be on children but in reality could be heavy passions and kids for the parents and agents and be minimum members to transweaver display children may end up. No child on it is that on a check can be expected to survive a dozen years. Why we homelessness is growing under national kind of worse. Said I managed more than 0,000 tenancies with more than 2,000 people, with near half of them children. In the previous financial year, Kaga Ora said it's placed 6,815 households from administrative social development housing register into those homes. Among them included 8,500 children. Associated Housing Minister Tara Pōtaka votes released the data to Labour did not respond for requests for comment by deadline. Right, the next song I'll be playing for today is Danger in the Rise by Train Rates.
I couldn't do that. Could you do that? How can they do that? Who are those guys?
Streets tonight. You're the one who needs.
Fair was started in United States, Strike Race, like Chartopedia on Eric Evie. Strange Race is a Scottish Aaron Glen metal band, which is from a like first Java Strange which said he failed to make it, impact globally, and with Derby Alba in the mid-ads, which received critical acclaim. It was released in 1999. Right, let's get well. Well, let's go to Israel, face with a disastrous US Gaza plan before alleged court end his career. Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu chose between pleasing his ally Donald Trump or his right wing base and rejected a plan he may not please anyone. For decision, says the technical and the PR victory for Hamas, NSA with an Islamic movement public in the deal, which was disarmed without taking any steps yet to do so. Netanyahu, plus his tech goes long clear on Hawker's security position, has voiced concerns softly about the US president on July 3rd of how what he called a historic milestone in ending the Gaza war. He firmly rejected the plan on Sunday during a cabinet meeting. After a push from a far right West Australia opposes 50-point deal, there was the Israel venture ritual troops from much of Gaza, needing a hero as well as longer serving prime minister, but by nature a prostitute. And those trackers have secured a trust of hard right ahead of October 27th face Yossin Mikkelberg, on expert on Israel politics at London-based think tank in Chatham House. Needing now his calculations to dissuade voters for the opposition by creating pressure that he's still the only base of our that will stop Hamas, Mikkelberg said. Netanyahu knows that whenever Trump doesn't secure serve him or Israel, on the other hand, he knows the minute he agrees to a 15 points. He would be attacked not only by the right wing, but some opposition parties will attack him too, he said. He's trying to appease everyone. At the end of the day, he'll be appeasing no one. As will be fighting for the first time since the trauma of Hamas on October 7th with the attack. The deal ever against Israel's retaliatory overwhelming offense in Gaza, despite Netanyahu's public gesture of transport and British fear speaking by a key part of it. Israel has stopped airstrikes since August 6th, all three Gaza authorities report periodic Israeli gunfire. The strikes could be resuming even intensified at any time. And that's one of the cars Israel can maneuver with, said a former analyst of Israel's defense ministry. He noted that Israel has not ceded in the scope of this complete destruction Hamas after October 7th. Therefore, Israel at least seeks to disarm Hamas, which was a very difficult task. Elman said Hamas will even refuse to completely disarm, and for now it can continue to use Netanyahu as an excuse to avoid it, or at least slow down a process, he said. Netanyahu has been long kept in this close rapport with Trump, has been taken unprecedented steps, such as moving to the U.S. embassy in Jerusalem and joining Israel and attacking Iran. But Trump's popularity in Israel took a nosedive in April when he called a ceasefire with Iran and sought a settlement, seeing Middle East war as politically and economically damaging. Netanyahu could be willing to take some steps in avoiding Gaza to place Trump in return for a new U.S. attack against Iran, Elam said. Netanyahu could be willing to take some steps forward on Gaza to play Trump and return new U.S. strategy against Iran, Elam said. For Netanyahu, the Gaza Strip and Lebanon to therefore made it of the most urgent concerns Iran is. He said Hamas probably back on the disarmament agreement shortly after the chosen new leader, Khalid al-Hala. Open comments from a Giko did this for tactical reasons, said Gadfar May, a former Palestinian Authority official who is now a senior fellow at Washington Institute for Near East Policy. He said Hamas wanted to be seen as ruthless actor and Netanyahu switched in which in his favour. What does an agent give Hamas and meditators reason to say, look, Hamas be committed, Israel has not committed. The bow is an Israel's court, he said. It's less the pressure of Hamas. Let's end it for one now. Let's hope Benjamin get re-elected so Israel can secure a victory in Israel Hamas war. Despite our rival populist Donald Trump's withdrawing our support because no matter what caused the most over popularity in recent years. Looks like U.S. Donald Trump says the situation in Iran is going fine. Time reports that Joe Biden's Andrew said U.S. forces are in total control of the Strait of Hormuz. U.S. forces have disabled a Panama-based cargo ship intended to sail towards Iran airport by firing two Hellfire missiles to steer clear over its annulled warning. The Trump administration is trying to buy time to convince Israel to agree to the Gaza support of peace plan, but for Israel to remain unconvinced, according to Dover Hill, a former U.S. Undersecretary for State of Political Affairs. How told Al Jazeera faithful White House may be keeping quiet about a proposal to refine its terms. Also, it's been a reason that White House been quiet about this as it may want to go back with a drawing board and take it with a 15 points, see if it can close the gap, see if something that Israel can accept. Hale said. However, Israel's trade requirements regarding security and the military capabilities of Hamas remain the core obstacles he suggested. Clear for Iran for Israel is they are not going to withdraw until they complete through and disarm of Hamas, Hale added. He pointed out that Israel officials do not believe the proposed solutions of international stabilization force and border peace are adequate and public, and Gaza will be safe for a foreseeable future. Looks like Trump and Netanyahu may become a viability to each other as a US president was asked about Gaza and Beijing. Netanyahu, look at my new social post. But whenever he went to his count, he was nothing to see. Pierce the breakout and communicate via because there's pseudo rush breakout between those two men, and it was just 2 weeks to the day for dealing that he was right. Was in Washington, visiting the city for Lindsey Graham's funeral, then come to the White House and meet Donald Trump. It was a point of Donald Trump actually got very angry about negative comments on New Beijing Netanyahu. As that actually confuses election liability to each other. Mm-hmm. Right now, I'm gonna play Biodamaya by Picasso. Mm-hmm. And dancing. Phil's baby, I done my webassy on Chatterpedia on Eric Evim. All right. I'm gonna take a I'm gonna tell you things with the most European cities outside of Europe are Montevideo, Uruguay, Chile, a similar red plaid of European demographic migrant to Buenos Aires with heavy Spanish and Italian ancestral ties. I want to play it. Remember they cut down South Africa features from Dutch and British architecture and historic influences from your colonial settlement. Pondicherry and India, unique coastal cities used French colonial settlement for 300 years, retaining French truths again language. Faith could have been still be a French overseas territory, France. Signature built on British colonial wealth with large reward waves of British eternal Greek immigrants. Toronto, the Canada features diverse historic European neighborhoods and a large foreign born European population. New York City, USA historic carry a major hub for European immigrant communities and ethnic enclaves. South Africa, Brazil, home for largest extent diverse outside of Italy alongside large Portuguese, German, Spanish populations. Member from Montreal, Canada. Features the same of old North American, old world French heritage, language, and historic European stone architecture in old Montreal. Mm-hmm. then Melbourne and Victoria, now it's Victoria and Aotearoa, New South Wales, an extension of Trinidad with large Greek and Italian communities. And Buenos Aires, Argentina, heavy influence by Spanish and Italian immigrants featuring Parisian style architecture, where both are in a deep cafe culture. Well, I'm gonna play. Next song I'll be playing is Bubble Drop by Calyx. We'll be right back. First, before the door, my colleagues on Jadapedia on Era FM. Right now, the fact of the day is the world's largest copper mine sits at 50 grams, 551 ounces. Right, the final song of the day is. I want you to buy Zavish Garden. Fifth, I want you by Savage Garden on Chartopedia on Aero FM, fifth straight from a debut single from the debut album Savage Garden, which peaked at number my phone try in 996, but it peaked in pan on the bus, not wish for worldwide peaks. The Marshall Venture region of me, region number one in Canada in 1997. Well, first of all, I'll see you next Wednesday. First is Chartopedia on Aero FM.